Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us from, I assume, Tamaki Makaurau, yet to confirm that, they've just released their second album, Wings of Desire, which is super exciting. It's got a bit of an 80s twist compared to some of their previous work, which is more grounded in the blues slash rocky, rolly type stuff from the 50s, 60s eras. We have Hemi Hemingway on the line. Good morning to you, my friend. How are we?
Morning, Zach. I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm chilling, man. I was waiting on these headphone cables to work. There we go. yeah, I'm chill. Are you in Auckland right now?
I am in Tamaki right now. I I went to Hawke's Bay for a couple of days to see my mum and dad, and then drove up last night to Tamaki and straight to a listening party at Flying Out, and now just chilling.
I did see that on your Instagram. How was the listening party?
It was fun. It was really nice. Yeah. Nice, intimate. Played some songs as a two-piece, which was very new. We kind of decided how we were going to play them as we were driving up in the car. But it went off without a hitch.
Cool. Who was the other person in the two-piece?
Lucy Bellett plays as Mercury Fong. She's part of the wider Hemi Hemingway band.
Cool. And in the video for Wings of Desire as well.
Exactly. Wow, yeah. You know your stuff.
Yeah, bro. I research extensively, bro.
Yes,
The opening track, which I just mentioned, it's made the Air New Zealand In Plane soundtrack. You're aware of this, right?
I am aware of it.
Did you get asked for clearance about that?
I didn't personally, no. I was on a plane one time and I heard it come on.
So they don't tell you they're going to put it on, they just put it on.
No, wow. No, I was just on. I heard it on a plane, which sounds like a fun story. You know what I mean? Like it sounds, yeah, like, you know, yeah, it sounds like a dream almost.
Mm. Yeah, totally. And I guess adds to this idea of wings of desire because you're using wings to get to a place. Obviously,
yeah, true. I wrote that song specifically
to get playlisted.
I gotta find the niche.
Yeah, dog. It's so funny. While others are chasing the 90s and the 2000s at the moment, you've been chasing the 1980s with the synths, dramatic guitar, very punchy early digital drums that come all over this thing. And you're drawn to your higher register as well on tracks like the 6th, April 13. You mentioned in our last chat that as you finished your first record, you went down a bit of an 80s rabbit hole. What kicked that off?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I think I kind of grow... I have a tendency to grow bored of things kind of quickly. Not in, like, a harsh way, but just, like, you know, I kind of devoured all the 50s, 60s stuff that I could handle and then was like, oh, okay, what's next? And I don't know, I just got... I'd never really given 80s music a chance. Mm. And then I just went... Yeah, just went head first. And I also kind of realised that I felt like a lot of the 80s... sort of neo-romantic kind of pop stuff was like emulating the same sort of structures and chord progressions and stuff as that 50s, 60s stuff, but just with these new age instruments, you know, of the time.
Mm.
So I just found that really interesting. And yeah, it felt like a really natural progression, if I'm being honest.
What was like the first couple of artists or bands that sort of drew you into that decade?
Oh, good question. I think it was... Psychotic Furs and Tears for Fears and Brian Ferry, massively.
Brian Ferry rings a bell, but nothing's coming to mind.
He was in Roxy Music, Love is the Drug, Don't Stop the Dance, Slave to Love. Very romantic, very good.
Like kind
very,
of
very good.
R&B sort of vibe?
Maybe slightly, yeah. Sort of like dancey, romantic, 80s kind of synthy pop stuff. Really, really cool.
I've also been trying to give the 80s a bit more love by exploring a lot of the OG R&B stuff from that era.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay. Have you heard Don't Look Any Further by Dennis Edwards?
No.
The bass line from that track is sampled to shit. Across a lot of different genres, but in particular hip hop. Like Tupac sampled it for Hit 'Em Up, if you've heard that track before.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Banger of a tune. Real banger of a tune. One thing I noticed about this album is that, you know, it's very grand. There's a lot of almost power poppy vibes sort of coming through here. And I guess there's a lot of backing vocalists here adding to that vibe. Is that because you wanted to make this album more grand that you have a little backing vocal section?
Yeah, I think the 80s style was quite big and quite, you know, I wanted to kind of create this whole world when I was writing songs. And so rather than, I think kind of out of necessity, I sort of had to write in headphones for a while. And it just started out that, like, you know, I just create this big world that I could just escape into. And then my last, you know, my first two releases, they were all done. Everything was done by me, essentially, except for the saxophone, because I kind of had to do it that way. It was cheap, and also the first thing was done in lockdown, and you know. Whereas this one, I wanted it to be more collaborative. I wanted to have other voices on there, you know, not just singing voices, but, like, you know, playing saxophone, and I've got my friend Josh drumming all over it and stuff as well. And even, you know, working with an actual audio engineer and not just doing it myself.
You can tell the production quality, like the clarity or the mastering, whatever, has improved.
Everything is, yeah. James Goldsmith is a wizard, and we sort of co-produced it together as well. We'd have these, I think we work quite similarly, where we're both very straight up, you know. So we'd be doing a song, and he'd be like, "We need to lose the piano," and I'd be like, "Yeah, but I think the piano, this reason, you know," and then he'd be like, "Nah, it's got to go." And so we'd just trust each other.
Oh, man. Do you think there'll be a second album version with all the Hemi's version, as it were?
I couldn't do it. Oh, so much work to do it by yourself.
Oh, man. This kind of reminds me of a question I was going to ask you earlier, but I actually didn't. I was not going to ask you, but now I want to ask you again. How do you feel like you juggle your time effectively between this project and also being sort of a go-to person in the Wellington, like, music scene? Like, I've talked to a few different people from Wellington who you've helped out on projects in one way or another. You know, do you feel like sometimes you stretch yourself too thin?
Yeah, but not just with music, just in life in general sometimes. But no, I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. I just sometimes I overexert, but then see it through to the end and just readjust for next time. But yeah, I think overall, I've got plenty of time for music. I think I could I've kind of got unlimited time almost.
Nice, man. Nice.
Until the very moment that I don't, and then I'm a brick wall.
And then you just crash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a track on here called Desiree, and in that track you reference Rainbow's End in the summer of 98. Is that a bit of a core memory?
Well, the thing is, actually, in my mind, it was more like Splash Planet, because I grew up in Hastings, in Hawke's Bay. But Splash Planet didn't fit the rhyme. So it was just, that song's kind of about, like, you know, that youthful, because I would have been summer of 98, I would have been 7 or 8, you know. And so it's like thinking about that kind of youthful kind of, like, you know, you meet someone for a day when you're at a water park and you, like, fall in love, and then, you know, it's weird and awkward, and, you know, and then all of a sudden you never see them again. And I don't know, it's just sort of, yeah, just sort of a bit of fun. But yeah, I never actually went to Rainbow's End, so
damn, bro's living a lie.
Yeah, just put Splash Planet. Think of Splash Planet in your mind when you read Rainbow's End.
Okay, man. Was that like a frequent occurrence? You'd often go to that place?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Every summer would go there at least a few times in the summer holidays.
I think so
my mum could just, like, get a break, go off and have a day to herself.
Yeah, and the kids are just going to be, like, super thankful, and they're going to be really nice.
Oh, yeah, we're running around and there's lifeguards everywhere looking out for us, and
Totally. Track Promises really intrigued me because it reminded me a lot of the track Song for Zula by Phosphorescent. Like, with the sparse and echoey drum patterns in particular on that song. Was that an influence at all, or am I just drawing little conclusions?
I haven't listened to Phosphorescence in about 15 years.
Oh, true.
But maybe in there somewhere. Mm. I'll go and check it out, and I'll see if I can see the similarities. Otherwise, it's a total coincidence.
Crack up.
One I'm quite happy for.
I hate asking those questions because it's either like yes, and it's like a really.
Thanks
crazy response, or it's just like that's a coincidence, and I just nuts that these two sounds can just occur naturally. It's awesome.
Hey, I think you're asking the tough questions, and everybody
that
else
no one else will ask.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I want to ask a track about a song that I feel like no one else would sing. Long Distance Lover. It's a very saucy song about like e6 over the phone. It's crazy. So brave to be singing about this. Was that a lot of fun to write? Because it really seems, it's so silly, goofy with the conviction you have about putting a pillow under the body, under a pillow under someone's head. Like, it's so fun.
Yeah,
it's so much fun.
Oh, I'm glad it's taken that way and not in just a really creepy, inappropriate way.
No,
it was really fun to write. That was the last one, and that was almost like last minute. We recorded the final four songs for the album, and I had a completely different song ready to go, which didn't quite fit. And then last minute, I think I wrote that like the day before we went into the studio.
Man,
and I didn't even have the lyrics finished. And so yeah, it was just, it kind of just came out of, it was like, it's meant to have that like double meaning of like, it was sort of, my partner at the time, and I had this really weird misunderstanding. We were experiencing this strange distance and whatnot. But then, but it also has that sort of, that long distance kind of thing, the e6, as you mentioned. And it's meant to be, it's
like tongue in cheek,
playful.
Silly.
Yeah, tongue in cheek, for sure.
Are you familiar with the trio Lovage? It's kind of like something they've made.
No.
Ah, true.
Oh, no. I was inspired by Donny Benet for that one. Being very, very honest about my influences.
Is he related to Eric Benet?
I don't think so. He's an Australian artist.
No, yeah. Oh my god, this guy looks crazy.
Listen to his music. Honestly, it's so good. Listen to The Dom, the album.
Oh, everyone needs to look up Donny Benet right now. He looks like Stavros Halkias. It's awesome.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my goodness. Oh, fire out. On the closer of this record, you pull out this very, maybe the loudest, most yelly version of your voice you've ever done. And you almost sound like a very animated Sean Ryder from the Happy Mondays.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's almost like a British twist to this, to your voice.
Oh,
do you hear that?
I've lived in London for a number of years.
Yeah, yeah. What was it like when you were in the studio recording that thing?
It was very, it was an intimate, it was just me and James in recording, and I was standing right next to him. So it was strange. But it was a weird feeling. That's kind of the sound that I used to do in my old bands, sort of more yelling. And so I've been trying to incorporate this sort of darker edge of my usual music before Hemingway into Hemi Hemingway a bit more. So that was the, that songs like that one, No Future, and To Be Without You and 6th of April, they're all trying to, incorporate in that sort of darker, kind of gothier kind of edge to it.
Looking to the past while moving on in the future.
Exactly.
Shape. Yeah, hell exactly. Yeah. Are we going to also see more Buff Cat this year? Is another question.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Mean.
We're always doing stuff.
A project or just a few tracks?
Remains to be seen. We're saving up our pennies to hopefully get into the studio and record something.
Cool, man. And lastly, do you plan on doing a bit of a tour for this album? Are we going to be seeing a Ōtepoti appearance from Hemi Hemingway?
I would like... It might be a delayed album release tour. I'm going to South by Southwest in 2 weeks.
Oh, congratulations.
In Austin. Thank you. And then back for a month, and then going to the UK and Europe for a couple of months. So get back in sort of mid-July. So I'll probably plan for something after that.
Mean.
I'd love to come to Ōtepoti.
Yeah.
The whole band.
It'd be great to see the Hemi Hemingway experience in real life.
Hell yeah.
Be cool as. Well, thank you for coming on the program and talking about this new record, Wings of Desire. Do you have any final thoughts or opinions to leave our listeners with?
No, sorry. I can't think of anything right. You've put me on the spot, Zach.
Oh, no.
No.
Easy as.
Sorry.
I appreciate the honesty, man.
Can't think of anything. You put me on the spot.
Sure. Next time I'll give you some heads up.
Perfect.
Cheers, man.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Zach.
Cheers.
Catch ya.
All right, folks. That was Hemi Hemingway. We're talking to him about his new record, Wings of Desire, which is out wherever you find your music. We're going to be playing the closing track to the record, No Future, No Future, No Future. Then at about 9:30, we'll be joined by Labour MP Rachel Brooking in the Brooking Report, where we talk all about current events and local issues. Here is Hemi Hemingway with No Future. You're listening to The One. Keep it locked. Bye. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we aren't going to be able to play that song. So we have instead Oh My Albertine from the record, which is a real, real demonstration of power balladry. Ka kite.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.